Now I had the time of my life. No, I never.
Hey, and welcome to Extra Features Interview. Today we have a very exciting film, but it's only 15 minutes, but that's all good because it's awesome. And the film's called Audition. We have our first woman ever on the show, which I'm so excited to finally have a woman on the show to talk about film. Because I know they do film. I see them in film. And Mandy, welcome to the show. And your last name is?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And we just had some technical difficulties, so tell us again about your film at the beginning.
Oh, right. So this film is just an independent short film through the Neil Schell Apprentice Program. So Neil Schell is a very famous Canadian director, and he has an apprentice program where he takes on 8 to 10 actors a year. And it's more instead of like a scene study or kind of like a coaching class, it's more of like a management program where you have to focus each week, report on like where you're putting your hours, how you're working it, how you're working your career, things like that. And then at the end of the year program, he offers to come to the city that you live in and direct a film or a scene or a monologue, or I mean, he's pretty much yours for a day or two as a director. So then I just got the idea to write a script. I always wanted to write a short film. I wrote a couple of like scenes, like just for a demo reel. Which was really fun, and then I just thought, hey, I already have this amazing director, so why don't I make a movie? So I made a movie.
That's great. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. I'm going to start off at the beginning. You have music right at the beginning. Was that your choice or the director's choice?
That was a choice. And then the person that did it is actually from Africa, and he did the score for our movie. And he put that in there, and after the first cut, after he sent the music, I was just like, it was awesome, because I was so used to seeing the movie, you know, edit after edit after edit without the music score, and then when he had put that in there, it was just perfect, like, it just fell into place.
That's awesome. So how did you find the guy in Africa?
Through Neil. So Neil is actually in Africa, creating a TV show out there, so he met a lot of film contacts. And the guy just watched the film, and he offered to do the musical score.
I don't know if your film has been described in the beginning as noisy, because I found it very noisy from the credits. And then you have your girlfriend trying to get in the door, and that's rattling, and you really set the scene. And I wrote my notes. Shouldn't it be quiet? I mean, you're in the tub having a nice read. You're having a glass of wine.
Yeah, there was a couple of different ways that we wanted to play it. We wanted to play it, like, very quiet, more, you know, like really quiet and more of that like suspense kind of when the person's like coming in the door, you don't know who it is. And then of course I'm in the tub. And then, yeah, that just kind of happened with the sound and with the music and we left it. We left it in. I thought it was pretty cool. Now versus having just the silence.
I have to ask the important questions. Ginger ale or wine in the glass?
It was ginger ale.
I was all excited. You look very relaxed. I'm like, here we go.
I wish it was wine. That would have made the day a lot easier.
It's kind of weird because you answered my questions. I was having, like, I wrote in my notes, because as I watch the film, I make notes. I go, is it a girlfriend? Does this person have a key? And then I thought it was really good that you answered all those questions as the scene went on.
Nice, thank you.
And I did make notes, because you see my notes, because I said, oh, okay, great, there are a couple. I don't see that often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was writing the relationship, like, with that twist or the relationship when the girlfriend comes in, I was actually debating the relationship and if should it be a girl or a boy and who is this character and the main character. And then, yeah, I thought the ending would be not more significant, because, you know, it's horrible what happened, but just more like not interested in, you know, in men. So it was kind of, you know, tough writing that kind of.
No, I think you did a great. It was something different. Like, I watch hundreds and hundreds of films a year, and I don't see that often. Like, I'd say 99 out of 100, or even almost 100 out of 100, it's a male-female relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot, and I like that. I really was surprised by that.
Awesome.
So I want to give you full kudos for that.
It worked.
I liked how you had the music fade at the sex scene. I really enjoyed the fade. I'm like, how far are we going with this? And I liked the fade. I thought that Neil did a very good job on the fade there.
Yeah, that was perfect. We had a really great DOP. I've worked with him a few times, and he is amazing with the camera, so that really helped.
I thought he did a good job. I thought he set the scene. I mean, obviously, I can tell it's a low-budget production. It looks like it was shot in maybe your apartment or somebody you know's apartment.
Yeah, it was shot in my old condo.
Okay.
I was actually moving the week after, so I had already, like, we filmed this in the end of May, and I already knew I was leaving for June 1st, so I was like, meh, it doesn't really matter. Like, what happens, all the blood and the shattered glass, and oh my gosh, it was, I swear, I was cleaning up blood for so long and glass for so long.
I do have a question. You know, after she's doing the auditions, the main character, why is she, like, I'm kind of confused, why did she invite the guy back? That was one of the questions I have in my notes.
Yeah, so what I was supposed to be is, so she has all the auditions done, and then the last guy that's supposed to show up doesn't show up. He's running late, and then that's who he calls, just to say that he's running late. He wanted to audition, and then they were kind of like wrapping up the room. It was already like the auditions already ran over, so that's why she offered to still like audition him if he was able to make it.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird she invited him back. Like, that wouldn't be a safe environment. She must be comfortable. She doesn't know the guy. That's why I thought was strange.
Yeah, I think she is just, the character is, it is very scary. It's unfortunately horrible and a very dangerous situation. I think she just like really wanted, there was something about this, you know, guy that the character just really wanted to see or like wanted to meet him. It's that thing when you're kind of like following a dream and you have, you know, she has this script she really wants to get developed and kind of you'd do anything to...
Well, she seems to want him over anybody else she saw.
Yeah.
Because I kind of wanted the guy in the hallway that just looked kind of walking down the hall in the blue shirt. I liked him.
Poor extras.
I know. He's just standing there. I'm like, is this guy going to do it?
I know.
That was funny. How did you do your casting for the film?
So I held auditions. So I put up castings on several like acting websites, like Mandy.com. Actors Access, Casting Workbook, and then I held castings for a whole day, and then, yeah, I just cast. It was very difficult. I saw a lot of actors for these roles, and then I actually cast the main actor through a self-tape, so Sebastian plays the actor slash attacker, and I actually cast him through a self-tape, which is really rare, but his tape was freaking amazing. So that he was like kind of an easy pick, just for the character. It was like perfect. Like his self tape was so scary. It was like bang on. And then for the other role, it was literally just me, the co-producer Gigi, and Neil just like going through and being like, okay, you know, we already have this person, this type of person. Like we kind of need someone like a bit more naive, like the lead character. Cause why would he allow her, you know, to bring this guy back to the house? So it was kind of, we needed somebody like young and naive, kind of like the character. So we just picked.
Well, that's awesome. I just always interesting in how long was your shoot, by the way?
2 full days. So 2 days. The first day was 10 hours and the second day was 8 hours.
That's a long shoot for 15 minutes at the end. How does that make you feel?
It was good. I thought it was going to be a lot longer than that. But we just had a really great team, so it kind of went short. And actually, the day that we finished was one of the NBA finals for the Raptors. So we really wanted to finish on time and watch the end of the basketball game. But yeah, that's why I remember the exact weekend we shot, because it's like it was perfect timing. But yeah, it was really good. I mean, to know that we shot for 18 hours to get 15 minutes is like... It's kind of crazy.
I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And then all the post-production work that went into it afterwards, it was like, whoa. There was a lot of time to go into the movie. And this was actually my first time producing, like actually like doing everything, like hiring everyone from like the craft services to like the special effects. I had a stunt coordinator on who brought like all the prop weapons. the shattered glass, like every, like to go from, you know, just getting auditions from my agent to like, you know, doing like monologues or taping, you know, like little things at home to like this film was a huge leap. And I didn't think I was going to make it at one point. I thought I was going to have like a mental breakdown because there are so many things that need to be not perfect because that's a stretch, but like on point, you know, and so many people. When I was first doing it, I'm like, okay, I already have a director. I know the camera guy, the crew I want to work with. Perfect, let's do it. But it was like, no, I needed like a set organizer and this and that and like just so many things. It was crazy.
That's awesome. Can I ask what your budget was?
Yeah, the budget I spent here was $5,000.
Oh, wow. I didn't, okay.
And then another $1,500 afterwards for film festivals, media, for like publicity.
I was going to ask you for all that. Don't worry, it's coming.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Do you want to go through the whole film or do you want me to stop or just go, you want to take it to the end or do you want me to ruin it or do you want me just...
Sure, no, we can talk about it. Okay. I mean, it's out now, so...
I figured as much, but I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
I just thought the killer seemed kind of random. Like he just shows up and then strangles you. I just thought maybe he would want to, maybe a water first or something. It seems very quick.
Yeah, it was, we cut a lot of the script on the day.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the script got cut on the day, but because it was kind of not redundant, but the script was kind of like lagging. And it was things that I'd already gone over with the director and the producer before, and we just hadn't like made kind of final decisions. And then because it was a short film, yeah, just like to get to the point. But yeah, exactly. I think it was one of those things that as soon as what made sense in our minds when we were making it is as soon as he's like, oh, do you live here alone? And then when he realizes that she's alone for a couple of days, he kind of like sees his opportunity versus like having like that relationship continue. If it was a feature, I mean, there would have been like way more twists and dialogue and
building,
but... Yeah, but it is really fast, right? I mean, he's in the apartment for like 5 seconds.
I know. I was just asking. I'm like, well, that was quick. He's busy. Okay. I know it's not you, but when the character has the killer wrapped up, why didn't she call 911 immediately? She does go for her cell phone.
Yeah.
And then she sort of pauses. I was like, that seems weird. And she seems very intent on phoning 911 and then sort of changes her mind all of a sudden, I thought.
Yeah. Well, what happens is when she does, like, you know, knocks him out and wants to find out, like, kind of like who he is, like, what's going on, you know, and then, yeah, I think there's just that's again, like, more of like the script got cut because there's a lot of things going through her mind. And then finds out that he, you know, has done this so many other times and like with whatever, it's left to the imagination of like what she finds in his wallet, but to other girls. Yeah, I think she's just battling the whole time, like if she really wants to call 911 or if she wants to like what is she going to do with this guy, like what's going on, like trying to process like the entire thing of like what's happening and what had just happened. And, like, just everything, like, going through her mind, you know? That makes sense.
It does. I'm listening to you. I got a question about the trophies.
Yeah.
Do you think that motivated her to kill him?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a motivation to not let him get away with it. Because even if he was going to go to jail, I mean, he would probably get out in, what, a couple of years? Or maybe he has been in jail before. So I think that definitely was the motivation for her to realize that she needs to end it. And I think it's something also like maybe in her, like as the character, like in her passive, like this is abuse has happened before, or, you know, it's like a reoccurring thing and like something has to like stop, like has to stop with it. And then when he tries to break free, I think then that's when she just loses it. It's like, if he breaks free, he's obviously going to try to kill her. It's not like he's just going to run away. So I think that's, like, what motivates her to be, like, you have to end, like, the cycle.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah. I totally agree with her. I'm just, you know, wondering. How did Phil hit him in the head with a bottle?
How did we do it?
No, I know it's a fake bottle. Did it feel good?
Yeah.
Just, like, you have to, like, crack somebody?
Well, you know what? So we only had two bottles like that made. So it's called like Shattered Glass, and we only got two. So the whole day on set, everyone's like so cautious about these bottles, and I'm a super clumsy person. So they're like, don't touch the bottle, you know, like all day, like watch the bottles, like everywhere you went, everyone, because as soon as you touch it, it shatters, right? So a couple times, and it was a one take, like you only have like one chance, because then the second bottle we filled with blood, so we could have one, like, we tried to get like blood squirt out, and then one regular. And yeah, but when I did it, and I saw it afterwards, it was epic, and it felt actually so good, because I knew I could actually swing as hard as, it wasn't like a prop where I had to like go above his head or over, you know. I was really scared at first because I didn't want to hurt the guy. What if it didn't shatter? And I know, you know what I mean? Because there's always that chance, like, oh my gosh. But then I just went for it, and it felt so good to like just do it, and then it shattered. It was perfect.
Okay, at the end, we have a kind of like a postscript at the end of the film. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think happened? Because it doesn't really tell me.
Yeah, so the post, like, at the end of the film, I don't know what happened.
That's fair enough. No, I'm just going to throw these questions out there because these are on my notes. So
I would like to, you know, she realizes she's, you know, the character is in complete shock and there are sirens and it flashes back through all this stuff in the media about like victims of assault and wrongfully accused, and you know, she could have said no, and you know, just abuse victims and what they go through. And then I don't know, I would like to think at the end that, you know, the cops come and it's self-defense and she's able to live a nice, healthy lifestyle.
We all hope so. Okay, now I'm going to ask Gloria, where did you go with the festival circuit with the film?
So I applied to a lot, maybe, you know, enough film festivals. We were lucky enough to play at a few. The most significant one for me was the Stormy Weather Film Festival in Atlanta.
I do know what that one is.
It was the horror film festival, women for women, so that's really powerful for me because I'm being a woman in film and starting to write and produce and create and really be an artist was nice to be recognized. Not that it's not nice to be recognized by men, but in a festival, you know, by women for women, I think is pretty amazing.
I'm totally good with it.
Yeah, in that film festival, unfortunately, I didn't play in any of them in Toronto, but I made a lot of great contacts, which was nice. I'm really excited for my next film. But yeah, so in the Stormy Weather Film Festival, I won Best Actress for a Female Role and nominated for Most Outstanding Female Film. Pretty cool.
That's great.
Other than that, we just played on like a few film festivals, like online film festivals. And yeah, the circuit just ended. Now I'm writing my next film.
That's awesome.
So pretty excited.
How's the response been on Twitter?
Really good. Actually, I'm super excited. So because I had made this film like a year ago, I just had to wait for the film festival like circuit to wrap, like the last film festivals that I applied to. But the responses have been really good, and like Instagram and Facebook. And I was nervous really for like my dad to see it. You know, it's like weird. but they do know I do like a lot of horror. Like I've done like a lot of horror and thriller movies, so they're kind of used to it. But yeah, the response has been really great. And I think it's nice that I'm able to just release it now, like with media and like with the internet and all these like amazing outlets versus just like letting it go. But yeah, the response has been really great. Like it's been pretty nice.
Have you posted it on Vimeo?
Nervous, but it's good.
Did you post it on Vimeo and stuff like that?
Not yet. So I'm letting IndieView be the exclusive viewing for right now. And then once this is wrapped in a few months, then I'm going to release it. I already have it on Vimeo and YouTube, but as a private link just because of film festival submissions.
Yeah.
So once IndieView gets like their exclusivity, then I'm going to release it and just like get it out there. So people are like, you know, whoever is Googling or wants to see it can see it.
Well, that's great. Well, this is, if you, I can't think of anything else to ask you other than a little bit more about your next project. Well, hopefully you don't hate me after this interview, and we can interview that when it shows up, which would be great.
No, I don't. My next project, so I'm writing, currently in the middle of writing a feature film. I learned so much by writing the audition, just about like more twists and relationships. And I just read the book, Save the Cat. It's a script writing book. It's incredible. So I'm writing a feature film right now, and it's about 10 years after high school, a group of friends, like the cool kids in high school, they're meeting for a high school reunion out in the, you know, at a cottage in cottage land, and their past catches up to them. So you can't like really escape all the mean things that you did.
Uh-oh, I might be in trouble. Yeah. Okay, now it's your favorite part of the show. It's easy.
Yeah, right.
I have two questions for you. Your favorite film.
The fun question.
Your favorite film.
My favorite film, like, ever?
You can give me a few. I'll give you options.
Okay, so my favorite film ever in the entire world ever made is Dirty Dancing.
Oh, there you go.
Don't judge me.
I know.
It's, like, my go-to movie since I was, like, a little girl. I must have seen it, like, oh, my gosh, over 5,000 times. I'm not even kidding.
Was it the Patrick Swayze body or just the film in general?
No, I watched it when I was really little on VHS, and I remember even babysitting. I would watch it, rewind it, watch it, rewind it, watch it, rewind. I still do. I just watched it like a couple days ago. I don't know what it is. I just think it's the most incredible movie. I think it's, yeah, like the relationship maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Well, then maybe you've answered my next question with your
and
first...
Then, sorry. For like cult movies or anything that I grew up on or something that I think like really shaped me, which sounds kind of weird, but The Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, I love them. Fabulous movie. You got no complaints from me on that one. That's
my
a great film.
We watched them when I was little, and I've forgiven her now, but oh my God, I was so scared of Freddy my entire life.
No, how old were you when you saw Nightmare on Elm Street then?
Pretty young. Right. Where, like, I literally had to sleep in the hallway after when they put me to bed because I was so scared. I couldn't go into my room.
Wow.
But I still love all the Freddy. Oh, my gosh. All the Freddies. If they're making a new Freddy, I better be in it. I love it. I think he's so scary but hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's weird.
Wow. You might have answered my next question already, but I'll ask anyway. It's Friday night. Your friends are over. What film do you put on? Is it Dirty Dancing again, or is there...
No.
No? Okay.
I only do Dirty Dancing alone. I don't do it with other people. It's like my little secret.
Oh, it's
I don't
out
know.
Now. Nothing. Hard question, I guess. I'm sorry.
That is a really hard question. What would you put on?
Oh, my God. Now, see, no, ways. I put on Major League, because I love Major League.
Really? Oh, that's a good movie. I think it would depend, like, who was over. Gosh, there's so many movies. Like, on Halloween night, I stayed in, I watched Cabin Fever. They were not the remake, the original. Love those movies. I would probably just go to, like, anything, like, old school horror is, like, really my...
Old
I love them.
Horror.
Like anything, or like French horror movies I love. Like Inside is probably one of my favorite movies.
I
always want to show people Inside if they haven't seen it. It's
I'm
like
going
so
to
good.
See
like
Inside. I'm making a note right now to see Inside. So next time I talk to you, you can bug me
it's
if I haven't
so
seen
good.
It. It's a
so
French
like
film called Inside.
Really
yeah, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, I like to show people, like, just if they're over, just like creepy movies that they haven't seen that like push the envelope.
Okay, I'm going to have to ask. Have you seen The Orphanage?
Pardon?
Have you seen The Orphanage?
I haven't seen it. Is it the best thing?
It's probably one of my favorite horror films of all times.
Okay, you know, I'm going to mark that down.
Okay, there we go. We both got something for next time we see each other.
Here we go. Know. That's perfect.
And I have only one last question. It's the easiest one. You go to the movie theater, you go to the concession stand, what do you buy?
Oh my gosh, this is so easy. I get the same thing every time. So if I'm not like balling on a budget, I get the combo that gives me a free movie next time. So I have like 5 free movies right now on my CNET point card at the Cineplex.
So Canadian, you can tell.
But if I am balling on a budget, then I always get a popcorn and I have to get the seasoning flavor. So I get 1 dill pickle and 1 ketchup.
Oh my God, I'd throw up. The dill pickle would kill me.
So I'll eat the top layer of my popcorn with the ketchup seasoning and then the bottom layer with dill pickle or vice versa. And then a Fruitopia.
Oh my God, you have such a plan.
Or a root beer if I'm feeling a little crazy.
Look at you. That is a plan. Now, that is the best answer I've ever heard.
I have to get this seasoning. The other day, like a couple weeks ago, I went to go see It. And they didn't have seasoning on the popcorn. I didn't even get the popcorn. I just got a Fruitopia. I was so mad.
Wow. That's hardcore. I want to thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for your time.
Thanks for watching the film. I loved it.
And I'm looking forward to your next one.
There'll be more.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.